Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-hosts, Steve J. and marriage and family therapist expert, Fatima. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is encourage dialogue across ages, gender, religious backgrounds, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. Feel free to join in the discussion. We want to hear what you think. And don't forget to tell friends about Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk.
Guys, and welcome back to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. And so this is, what is it, April 26th, and I don't even know what day we are currently in our shelter in places currently, but I do hope that you all are staying in unless you have to go out for the essentials, safety first. So I'm really looking forward to this topic today, so I'm going to go right ahead and get into it. First, I have to introduce my co-host as always. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey. I am excited for this topic as well. I think that we'll get a lot of interesting opinions, a lot of education that might take place that may have been missed from a lot of women, you know, things that their uncles or fathers should have taught them or told them about. But we'll see.
Oh, really? Okay. Hey, Fatima.
Hi, Dr. Guy. Excuse me a moment. I threw up a little bit in my mouth while Steve was talking. But, yes, I'm looking forward to diving into this topic as well. I think it's important to have some insight into the psyches of men when it comes to cheating. And, you know, while there are various reasons why, I think it's a worthwhile conversation.
Well, let's talk about how this came about. So shout out to Renee Greer, psychotherapist. She was on the show a couple weeks ago. She has been doing the Friday night wind downs. And so I've had the opportunity of joining her. And this past Friday, the Friday night wind down topic was just this. It was what makes a man cheat. And so she had an interesting panel of professional men, mind you. And these men talked about their experiences in the past with cheating. And it was really interesting. She started off the wind down with just getting feedback from women, asking women why they thought men cheated. And then from there, she allowed the men on the panel to talk about their own personal experiences and how it came about that they cheated in their relationships. And it ran the gamut. Like, no two guys said the same thing. And so it was such an interesting topic. I couldn't stay the entire time. And so I was like, we're going to do part two on Sunday, because I really think that this is a topic that I know women talk about all the time, with other women. And so I figured, why not talk about it on the show today? So obviously, Steve, you are our only male currently on the show right now. I was going to let you open it up first, but I think I'm going to go to Fatima and get some thoughts from Fatima about why she believes men cheat. What causes that behavior? What are your thoughts?
Okay, it's tough. If I had to generalize, because if I really got into it, I'd be talking for the entire show because I want to address every possible reason why. But if I'm going to generalize, I would say because they can. I think that men cheat quite often because there are women who are willing to cheat with them. And also because quite often they're not made to be held accountable for it. How often do we see situations where the man has cheated and the woman remains in the relationship or takes it back? So there's almost this expectation that, yeah, I can cheat and she might be okay, but, you know, it shouldn't be a deal breaker. But that same expectation isn't there when it comes to women. So men aren't as easily ready to take a woman back that might cheat on them, you know, and that's the expectation too. Like, you, of course, what back cheating women? I expect to take me back if I cheat. And women do this, like they take back the cheated man. So I think that they cheat because they can and because they aren't made to be accountable for their cheating behaviors.
Okay, so you said a mouthful, that men cheat because they can and that women don't hold them accountable. Ooh, okay. So, Steve, I know you have a different perspective on the concept of why men cheat. And I want to put this disclaimer out here before we even go any further, that this is not a one-size-fits-all model, right? We're just generally talking about some reasons why men cheat. And I'm going to mention some of the reasons why when we talk about psychologically what might be taking place in that man's life. But we might not get, let's say we had, you know, 10 men in a room and 10 of those men said that they cheated. All 10 of those men might have a very different reason for why they cheated in their relationships. And so, again, this disclaimer is that this is not a one-size-fits-all model. We're just throwing out some options, some things that came up in the wind down on Friday night, and these were things that were stated by actual men. We're going to talk about some of those things this afternoon. And then also we want to hear from you guys because I see that you're tuning in. So if you want to chime in the discussion, remember you can. The call-in number is 914-205-5902. If you're listening online, you just need to call that number and press 1. Definitely want to know what your thoughts are about what makes a man cheat. And also this disclaimer is we are not saying that women don't cheat. We do know that women cheat in relationships. This is just about men today. So with that being said, Steve, go ahead and chime in.
Okay, First of all, I like to start with what I call the dating equation. And women or men are quite women. You all have one egg that you are pursuing the best candidate for your one egg. You need to find somebody who is resourceful, has good genetics, and your mission is to secure that mate to help you with your one egg. Now, men, on the other hand, we are diametrically opposed to what the women's mission is to get that one viable mate for that one egg. Our job is to replicate our genes, and the best way to replicate those genes is not to be involved with one woman. It's actually to be involved with more than one woman, and that is primarily how everything started out way back when, you know, from Homo sapiens, and it's kind of progressed to the point in society now, in order to give all the women a fair chance, you know, we try to come up with this scenario where, you know, we're monogamous and we have a one-to-one ratio of partnerships. But inherently, that is not how men are set up. So you get into situations where, from a society standpoint, some of it may be a man hasn't matured into the point where he's willing to accept the role that's been established with him in society to be with one woman. That's one. That's basically how I want to start it out.
So you want to start it off by saying that men's overall goal is to fertilize as many seeds as possible. That's how you want
to
start this?
It is to replicate our genes, yes. That is our mission, is to replicate our genes. So, you know, that's why you'll see
a
guy.
Who told you that?
And, well, I mean, scientifically speaking, somebody had to tell me, you know, I've done some research. So, you know, that's why when you see a guy, you know, and he sees someone who is physically attracted to him, you know, it's just hardwired into him certain things, you know, long hair, you know, large breasts, small waist, big hips, you know, those things just automatically come into his reptile brain or his lower brain that, oh, that's a viable candidate for mating.
Okay. So the comment that you're leading with is that it is instinctually a desire for men to cheat because unconsciously their main goal is to, again, procreate.
Well, I'm not going to say cheat. I think it is my assertion that being monogamous is more of a learned behavior. And in certain aspects, I think men may struggle with that a little bit more than women due to society's pressures.
Now, I'll agree with you, Steve, that monogamy is a learned behavior. Monogamy is a choice, right? I agree with that. But for the purposes of today's conversation, these are men who have supposedly agreed to be in these monogamous relationships and are still cheating. So, once again, I'm going to say
that is someone who has not matured into the role that has been assigned by him in society, or someone who is not honest enough to verbalize that that's not his interest at these times. Now, there can be some other scenarios that take place, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think those are the two core main issues that you're dealing with.
Okay.
You know,
Fatima, I know you were trying to jump in.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All of those kinds of statements, oh, he goes into his reptile brain and all of that other stuff, it's really a cop-out. And again, we're coming back to the lack of accountability. It's the same thing as, you know, boys will be boys. That's what men do. All of that stuff. Like, it's all under the same umbrella. We're not holding men accountable for their actions. The thing that makes us different from animals in the wild is that we have the ability to reason and use logic. And so when you make the choice to cheat, you are choosing to go outside your relationship, possibly father children outside your relationship, which, I mean, that's just absurd because a lot of these people are making babies they can't even afford to take care of and have no intention on taking care of them. So, I mean, it's ridiculous, and it's a cop-out that really just gives men an excuse to continue with these toxic behaviors. Oh, well, we can't do it because we have all of these seeds, and it's our mission to put the seeds somewhere. Get the hell out of here.
So I would like to ask Fatima how men aren't held accountable. Like, in terms of the procreation, we clearly know that they're held accountable in court.
Are they held accountable in court, Steve? Because I can think back to not so very long ago when you were giving men advice on how to make sure they only pay $25 in child support. I know a whole lot of men who refuse to work.
I did not give them advice. I said I knew how to do that.
I know a whole lot of men who refuse to work at all so that they don't have to pay child support, or men who say dumb stuff like, oh, I'm not taking care of her. You know, I get my kids some diapers or some shoes, but I'm not giving her no money. All that kind of stupid stuff. So, you know, this notion that, oh, men are absolutely held accountable in court, that's not true. There are so many men who are dodging child support. I can't even, like, I don't think there's a number that is in existence that can express how many men are dodging paying for their kids, which is why there are so many women who literally the kid is not a kid anymore. They're an adult, and they're still trying to get their back child support.
Well, you guys, the child is a possibility that the person who was cheating on their mate produces a child in a relationship, but there are several men that are cheating and it doesn't produce a child. So in those cases, when we're talking about who's holding them accountable, I think Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the question was, how is it that no one is holding them accountable? Are you referring to women not holding them accountable, or are they just not holding themselves accountable?
What I'm referring to is in cheating, how do you hold anybody accountable, whether it be a man or a woman? Like, I don't see that as a valid point. Like, there's no way to hold anybody accountable in cheating except the person who's doing the cheating. That's something that's more of a case-by-case, person-by-person scenario. Society shouldn't be holding anybody accountable, you know. I mean, if you want to talk about that, then we can go, you know, to the Middle East where you have such strict and harsh rules and penalties for cheating. Like, if that's the model that you're talking about, then I understand it. But, you know, in the Western world, the world that we're in, like, there's no accountability for cheating for men or women.
Well, Steve, I think I have to agree and disagree. I agree that people should be holding themselves accountable because really they're the only ones who are responsible for their own actions. But I disagree because I do think that the person in a relationship with can hold you accountable to a certain standard, a certain way in which you treat them. And so I might choose to overlook the act of infidelity one time, right? Let's just say that. But let's say this becomes the norm, that I know that this is what you're doing. You continue to do it. You continue to get caught doing it. And I continue to stay for whatever reason, whether I think that you're going to stop it or it doesn't, whatever the case may be, I'm going to continue to do that. So, but hold the thought, because you guys, Corey Hughes is joining us today. And Corey Hughes has a really interesting perspective. He has some interesting lived experiences. So I want to make sure we have an opportunity to get Corey on the show. And Steve, you and Corey have an interesting dynamic together, so I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest of this conversation. So it looks like we have Corey on with us now. So, hey, Corey, can you hear us?
Man, listen, I can hear you. And wait a minute. You did not tell me that it was going to be Christmas in April. You mean to tell me I got Steve on the show with me again?
Steve is co-host, Corey. So, yes, you have an opportunity to have Steve chiming in with you again today.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm ready. I'm sorry I'm calling in late, but I am ready. And so we're going to try to make up for the time. What's going on, Steve? What's going on, Doctor? How are you?
I am good. I am so, like, I hate that I missed the rest of it on Friday night because it was getting so good, and then I had to go, which is why we brought it back on Sunday, because I was like, we need a part two to this wind down. So just to bring you up to speed, I just asked Fatima and Steve both kind of what do they believe is the reason why men cheat. And Fatima kind of opened it up and said, I just think no one is holding them accountable, and they cheat because they can. And then Steve kind of gave us the whole notion that he gave us on Friday night, that men want to fertilize as many seeds as they can because it's instinctual. So that's kind of where we are, Corey. So feel free to chime in. What are your thoughts about? Because I know you have some experiences. You shared them on Friday. So what is it that makes a man cheat?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, you know, I always like to lead off with that I've always been and I probably will always be extremely controversial, especially when I think that people have perspectives on this topic that are one-sided. So whenever I hear a woman say that a man cheats because he has no accountability, it always makes my skin crawl, because I think that is such a selfish perspective, especially when it comes from a woman. Of course, because of self-preservation. The first law of nature is self-preservation. But what I did not get a chance to share on Renee's show is that I think things would be so much different if women would love their men the same way that they love their sons. If your son, Fatima, or any woman is listening, if your son falls down and scratches his knee or breaks an ankle and he's in pain, you're going to do everything you can to love on him and to nurture him and to make sure that he's healthy. If he's afraid, you're going to wrap your arms around him. If he's cold, you'll put a blanket on him. If he's sick, you're going to make sure that he has everything that he needs. But if that same man has the same sickness as your child, but it manifests itself in a different way, women are so quick to write that man off as being immature, or he just cheat because he cheat, or he just doesn't have anybody to hold him accountable. And I think that if men love their wives the way they love their daughters, and if women love their men the way they love their sons, it would be a lot different. And the reason I say that is because I think oftentimes a man will cheat because he's not heard, because he's not understood, because he doesn't feel safe, because he doesn't feel cared for, because he is bred, he's raised to be strong, to be tough, to be ambitious. And when he's not that way, then he needs a woman that he can feel safe to be naked and not ashamed. That's the first thing. I think the second thing, in my perspective that I gave on Friday, was also pathology. You know, I'll give an example, a very current example, and it's funny, but it'll lead into my story about pathology. My son, who's 7 years old, he woke me up yesterday, and he said, "Dad, I had a dream, and I'm scared to tell you because I think you may be upset with me about my dream." And I said, "Well, son, what did you dream?" He said, "I had a naked woman in my dream at 7 years old." And I thought to myself, "Well, that's interesting." But what I did was I didn't make him feel embarrassed. I didn't make him feel down about himself. But I told him, I said, "Well, son, that's normal. And the older you get, we'll talk about it." And the reason I even bring that up, doctor, is because I think that the way that something is introduced to you is it will determine the pattern. It will determine the journey. It will determine the lane that you drive down as it relates to that particular topic. And some men, including myself, I remember two things my father told me. Women come a dime a dozen, and a woman is like a bus stop. If you miss one, stay there. Another one will be on the way. My uncle used to take me and allow me to go with him on Saturdays when he went, and he would knock down two or three different women, and I would either be in the back seat or sitting in the living room listening to the moaning and groaning. And so sex and relationship to me was modeled as optional, and it was modeled as a man is to have multiple women. But also, I think also we can also not be selfish and sometimes not only check the pathology of how it was introduced, but also check the man's trauma. Because, Fatima, I'm not just not held accountable, but I was molested when I was a kid, and the two people that molested me were my older sister and my older cousin, and they were female. And so I think for me, and I'll just give you one more example, and I think Dr. Steve was there on Friday when I gave this example, that my mother also, when I was 8 years old, 7 years old, I remember riding with her, and she telling me that I wish that you were aborted, and she telling me that, you know, I remember sitting in the offices of adoption agencies and her saying, "Hey, man, I don't want these kids. I want to get rid of them." And so when you put all of that into a pot of gumbo called a man, called Corey, I didn't cheat because it was I wasn't being held accountable. I cheated because the way relationships were modeled to me was that men had multiple women, and the women that were important to me treated me like I didn't matter. So I had a disproportionate perspective on women, and the only thing that changed that was I got older and I began to have daughters. And so I think it's very pretentious for any woman to say, "Well, oh man, cheat because he ain't nobody holding him accountable," or because it is. Well, I think it's a lot deeper than that. And I think if this is not directed at the young lady, I think you said her name is Fatima, but it is directed at the mindset that women have like that. That my opinion, and it's going to be very aggressive and controversial, but I think it is the woman that has that mindset that gets cheated on. Because you're looking for an excuse, and that excuse is really attacking the character of that man versus trying to understand that there is really a little boy in him that is hurting, that is crying out for somebody to love him. And the last thing you can do to that little boy is continue to insult him when he acts out versus loving and cherishing and nurturing and helping to build that man. I'm ready for the heat because I know it's coming. Hey, Steve.
you're safe in this kingdom over here, bro.
Well, I don't know if this is
a lot of that was directed toward me, and he's mentioned my name several times. I'd like to respond.
Ten percent
of what he said is valid, and the other 90% is bullshit. And here's why.
Wow.
He talked about self-preservation. How is it so are women not allowed to have self-preservation? How am I preserving self if you are asking me to love you through hurting me? That's not self-preservation for me. So I have to love you while you continue to hurt and torture me, because it hurts me if I think that, and I'm using the general I, not me personally, because this isn't my life. But it hurts me if I have to continue to hear you say you are committed to me and only this relationship, but see your actions be something different, which is you going out and knocking down as many women as you possibly can. That hurts me. So I'm not going to love you through that, and I resent anyone who says it's selfish of a woman to choose not to. When I say not being held accountable, I am talking about women saying, no, I'm setting a boundary here. Infidelity is not okay in this relationship. And if you are going to be unfaithful, we can no longer be in a relationship. So that's the accountability that I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting away from this, normalizing cheating and using, which I think is horrible that, you know, some men have been sexually abused, that a lot of men receive the message, and I'm glad that he pointed that out, which is, women are disposable, women are a dime a dime. Doesn't absolutely. In fact, I receive that more than I receive the crap about having all of the sperm that they need to go and send their seeds out. I think that does happen more often than not. A lot of times the messages that men get about monogamy from other men is to, like, it's not something that should be respected, that you should try to sleep with as many women as you possibly can, that you shouldn't rush and jump into being in a relationship. So it makes sense to me that if that is your introduction to how to relate with and be in relationship with women and how you think about and engage women, then it absolutely makes sense that you are going to see a lot of that. But I don't have to be a party to it. And I am not responsible for loving you through your trauma if you have no intention on showing me some kind of respect. If you are an adult, you are capable of using your words. So that means you have the ability to tell me, you know what, I've been through a lot. I got some fucked up views when it comes to women. It's hard for me. I've never been monogamous before. And we can have a conversation about that, and that's something we can work on. But for you to sit up here and say to me or all of the women who are listening, the solution is loving your man the way you love your son, because if your son falls down and hurts his knee, you'll wrap your arms around him. Absolutely, I would. You know why? Because if my son fell down and hurt his knee, he has hurt himself. And I want to let him know that I am here for you, and I want to help him to feel better. If my man goes out and cheats on me, he is hurting me. And I absolutely will not and shall not condone it or wrap my arms around it.
Doctor, am I allowed to respond to that?
Oh, please do, Corey.
Okay, so let me respond to that, and I want to respond to that as graceful as I know how. So I don't want it to. I mean, I don't know the young lady that's speaking, and I appreciate her passion, and I appreciate her fire, and I appreciate truly her perspective. But I think one of the fundamental problems in relationships that was exhibited there is that we don't have very active listening skills. I didn't really dig deep into finding out what accountability meant for her. And the reality is, if I was sensitive, that I just expressed a couple of things that happened in my life that were traumatizing, and she called 90% of me sharing my heart bullshit. Now, the problem is, Sally at work or Jessica at the para part of my motorcycle club will be able to decipher and understand that 90% of it is not bullshit, that maybe she doesn't agree with it, but he's hurting, and I'm going to listen to him. I didn't, not one time when I expressed to her, did I say anything was right. I was just saying this was my experience. This is what helped develop this screwed up perspective as it relates to fidelity. No, it's absolutely not correct. But what happens is, and I'm so glad she said that, because what I heard her say is, if my child hurt himself, he hurt himself. But if my man goes out and does something, then he hurts me. And I think what most women have a tendency to do is associate a man's action with their identity. You're associating what he does with you versus understanding that sometimes, I know this may be, this absolutely may be a revelation for some women, but there are some men that are grown men that make grown men decisions, that run businesses, that have companies, they're great fathers, they're great sexual partners, they're great preachers, they love all of that, but there is yet still a little boy down inside of them that sometimes is driving the vehicle and they don't even know it. And you would understand that if you understand that most men seek a woman that has some characteristics or traits that reminds him of his mother, because there is yet still a little boy in there that needs to be nurtured. Now, again, I'm not sensitive to it. I appreciate the passion. But, again, I still want to echo, and before I say this last piece, I do want to say this. Not one time did you hear me say that cheating was justified, that you needed to stay if he hurt you. That's totally not what I said. You asked the question, why do men cheat? I wasn't speaking on the reaction or what I expect for you to do if he cheats. The thing about it is there are some men, like myself, that pathology was broken, that my relationship with women that really mattered to me was broken. And so I made some decisions based upon my history in my present that hurt some people. And again, I said it took maturity. I never said that I think that a woman should stay. But again, I'll echo it and say this in my conclusion. It is women that have that perspective that are 50 and single.
Fatima, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond back. Corey, thank you for sharing that. We do have some callers that I want to get to the phone line. So, Fatima, I know you want to respond. Hold that thought. Because, Corey, there's a whole lot of stuff that you said that I definitely want to unpack. Because I think a lot of women needed to hear that, that what we see on the present is my man cheating on me. That's the present. But what we didn't see
yes.
is what his mama told him when he was 7, or what happened to him when he was 12, or the absentee of a father or the uncles or whoever that were in his life telling him certain stories and creating this narrative that he has as an adult man. So those are the things that we don't know. But we got several people waiting to chime in, so I'm going to go to the phone line. 312, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, everyone. Dr. Guy, Sister Fatima, Steve J., and Brother Corey. We briefly met on the wind down. I know you're the love doctor of the world. So
come on, man.
This, how you doing? I wanted to really listen because I really enjoyed the two times I got a chance to sit down and listen to Corey during the two wind downs. And I just want to kind of quickly say, because I know you got a lot of callers. I totally agree with what Corey is saying, that trauma impacts a lot of the man's behavior and it stunts their development and their understanding of masculinity. And while Corey's story was very heartfelt, I think a lot of men can say similar stories on how they found out what it means to be a man. So it just drives them. But at the same time, I think Sister Fatima is also right. And let me tell you why. I think when you ask the question, why do men cheat, you look at it from two different perspectives. You look at the core cause, and you look at the symptoms. And I think Brother Corey is talking about the core causes, and Sister Fatima is talking about the symptoms. The core cause could be easily trauma, and they're the way they're deconstructing masculinity and what it means to be a man and how hurt mm-hmm. they are and how they're not being fulfilled with that with that pain. And Sister Fatima is talking about the symptom of because they can and they have no accountability. I think they're both right, but somehow we got to fuse it together to get a real good understanding on what is actually happening in our communities. Because I love what Brother Corey was saying, but at the same time, I understand the passion of what Sister Fatima is saying, because there's hurt on the other side too. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna get on the phone so I can listen.
Thank you, Dr. Belief. Keep listening. All right, you guys, we do have one more caller, so I'm going to go back to the phone line. 214, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Guy, Steve, Fatima, and Mr. Corey. My name is Aretha. I am in love. I'm just enjoying this topic, and I'm ingesting full-heartedly. I just wanted to make a comment on what Corey said, as well as Ms. Fatima. For Corey, you know, I sympathize with you, and I feel you, and I feel your pain. I understand how you're getting all the women. You tell them a sob story, and they'll fall for it every time. Bless your heart. I do apologize for, you know, your past instances of being introduced to sex that way and how to relate to women. Now, I understand that story. However, I'm in understanding the story, but I kind of agree with Ms. Fatima. You got to be held accountable for your actions, because your past dictates your future, but it's up to you to do the work so that your past does not dictate your future and you don't have to keep following the same path. You said that you stopped because you had daughters. Why did having daughters change your whole mentality of cheating and what it is? Because cheating is more than just fornication or infidelity. It can be also brought on by mental infidelity. Physical, you know, psychological infidelities. There is more infidelity than just, let's go have sex. That's my question.
Hmm. Thank you, Aretha.
Well,
go ahead, Corey.
Dr. Guy. Okay. You know, first of all, great question. I will say that this is, if I could teach women anything. If a woman would value my perspective, what I would say, the first thing you got to understand is that you must be cautious, because what you say you may mean it one way, but sometimes a man can interpret it completely different because men and women process things completely differently. So, number one, I think I understand you agreeing with Fatima because if I was sensitive, I would say that maybe, just maybe, I may have been offended by you calling my trauma a sob story. I don't want to use that as an excuse. It's not an excuse because absolutely, as Fatima alluded to, it was a decision. The second thing I want you to understand is that the reason that I changed when I had daughters is because it took my daughters to come along for me to have a different perspective of women. The women in my life that were my heroes, the women in my life that were my caretakers, told me that they wish I'd never been born. You know, I was molested. I was physically abused. And again, my story is what made me who I am and how I am. And I'm grateful for my story. But it took me having daughters and for me to look at them and look at their innocence and realize that because I am a Christian, I also believe that whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. And I thought to myself, one day my daughters may end up finding a guy just like me. And I know I've left a trail of blood. I've left dead bodies in my past. And I thought to myself, I don't want my daughters to find a man like me that is broken and they be so in love and innocently and authentically and genuinely love this man, but because he is broken, he's breaking their heart. And so I just decided that I wanted to change so I could be a different example and maybe be an example not just externally but also internally, be an example for my daughters and maybe sow some different seeds. And so that's one of the reasons. Hopefully that answers your question. But every man processes things differently. We grow at different rates. And that's what it took for me. It took for me looking and saying, you know, hey, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. I've matured. I went through a process of reparenting and going back and talking to that little boy and telling him that he was valuable. And then I had some beautiful daughters. And so, yeah, that's what made me kind of shift the way I moved.
Thanks, Corey. Aretha, did you have another question or comment?
Well, yes, just one other comment. I'm not diminishing the fact of your story. In fact, I actually appreciate it, but I do understand that your past dictates your future and determines who you are as an adult and in adulthood. However, for someone to reach back and say, you know, this, I do this because of this, if you are making a bad decision, that's the decision you made. At any rate, anyone does whatever they do because it is a choice. You made a choice to do that knowing all of the extenuating circumstances that were involved in that, but you still made that choice. So you can't blame it on your past when you are participating in your future.
Yeah, and I'll just say this, sweetheart, and I'm just going to agree to disagree with you, and this is not attacking you as a person. I just think that that's a very shallow perspective, because if I get to know you on a personal level, there's some things that you do just like your mama unconsciously, but you don't recognize that you're doing it. And you're not making a conscious decision to do it. You're just doing it because that's what was modeled before you. I assure you, whatever relationship you had with your mom or your father, there are some things that are emulated in your everyday life. But I think that what happens is we have this very shallow perspective when we are affected by somebody's behavior. It's an old saying, like the Bible says, it's so easy to see a spot in somebody else's eye and you can't see the plank in yours. And so, yes, it makes very much common and logical sense to say there's a cause and effect. You make the decision and you know that you was conscious and you're an adult. But there are some things that there are other extenuating circumstances and factors that play into that. And again, I want to make sure that I emphatically suggest to you that I'm not suggesting that cheating is right. I'm not suggesting that any woman should stay in a situation where she's being cheated on. But there are some things, and I've been with some women in my life that acted a damn fool, and they had no idea they was acting a fool and acting just like their mama until somebody pointed it out. And their present behavior was based upon some of the past things that were modeled to them. And I think the biggest word I want to I want us to emphasize is what was modeled for you. You've got it, because what is modeled for you right now, let me make it extremely practical. Right now, if you come and work for me, I've got 126 people that work for me today. And if I train you and I say, this is the way you're supposed to do this, you're going to trust me because it's my company. You're going to trust that I'm training you to do it the right way. Only and only to discover when you leave my company and go to a company just like mine, and when you do what I taught you to do, and they looking at you upside your head and saying, what in the hell are you doing? And you say, well, when I was introduced to preparing taxes, this is how they taught me how to do it. And they tell you, no, that's wrong. We're going to unlearn what you will learn and teach you something else. It's the same perspective. Your mom and your daddy, your environment, what raised you, taught you how to be how you are. But it's always easy to attack what you didn't grow up in.
You know what's interesting, Corey, and I have realized that in order for me to change some behavior, I had to first understand it. And I think this is kind of what you're referring to. Not to say that I cheated because this is what happened to me, but it was a part of my lived experience, and I learned from that, and as a result, this is the behavior that followed. But when we talk about cheating in terms of men and why they cheat, we know that there are a multitude of reasons, which is what we opened up the show saying. I'm glad you jumped right in and addressed your personal, like this ain't you not speaking for nobody else. This is your personal experience. That's what you found was driving your behavior. But that was after you started doing some work on self. And what's hard is that people don't necessarily know that they have to do work. Like, even though someone might say, you got some issues, you need to go work that out, it doesn't mean that they're fully aware that, oh, this is the reason why I'm behaving in the way that I'm behaving. And one of those behaviors might be the fact that they don't value the relationship that they're in. Or from a young age, someone told them that by having multiple women in your life, this is what a relationship looks like, whether it's in a committed or a monogamous relationship or not. So I'm really glad that you opened up that box, because now we definitely have several individuals who are chiming in on that. We're going to go back to the phone lines because I do have another caller. But one of our listeners online said that the reason why men cheat listed it as four reasons. Number one is peer pressure. Number two is they're unhappy. Number three is because of societal images. Four, it's not biological. Five, something they saw growing up. And so those are several reasons why this particular individual, why she says she believes men cheat. So I'm going to go to the phone lines at 605. You're on the air.
All right, good. I think this is one of those occasions in which two people, the female caller plus your guest, are both right. I think the woman who was calling is saying that, yes, you're making your decisions, and everybody should know the difference between right and wrong. And I think your guest is saying some people do not know fully the differences between right and wrong, and there may be peer pressures, there may be selfishness, they may have anger, etc. But they're going to cheat because not only because they're not fully aware of the consequences, they're going to rationalize to themselves, this isn't completely wrong. She would do this to me. Under these same circumstances, she's a pain in the ass, and I'm going to do it because my boys do it, and man, that's it. She annoys me, and that's it. But they don't fully know how wrong it is, and if it ever comes to their consciousness in any way that it might be very wrong, they're going to clamp it down and subjugate it again. Sublimated again into the subconscious. That's my opinion.
Oh, well, thank you very much, caller, for chiming in and voicing your opinion about how you do agree with both of our guests and our listeners for that. And hopefully you will continue to chime in.
Well, does it make sense?
I agree with you. But I seem to be on the fence with both parties throughout this conversation so far. So I can definitely see Corey's perspective and how if you can't heal what you don't need, what you don't know needs to be healed. And so as a result, you kind of repeat these behaviors. I can see the side of Fatima in saying that I'm just not going to allow you to continue to do this to me. And so I agree with both of those perspectives, but also I agree with Aretha when she says your past doesn't dictate your future. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't have to dictate your future is where I differ. I do think that in most of our cases, our past does dictate our future because in many cases, we're completely unaware that we're repeating cycles that we learned early on in our childhood until someone brings it to our attention. And what I mean by that, I just got a comment from one of our listeners, and she says, I had some good points. He had some good points, and she was referring to you, Corey. My dad was a cheater, and because it didn't affect me then, because it was grown folks and it was grown folks' business, it didn't affect me until it happened to me in my adulthood. So here's a young lady who's saying she watched her father cheat, but she didn't think anything of it until in her adult relationships, she started to realize she's repeating those same patterns. And so unconsciously,
and
that same behavior is impacting her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think what the doctor and the caller would agree upon is that it doesn't matter if you believe that what you're doing is right or wrong or how you rationalize it to yourself. You have to be held accountable. You're not supposed to hurt your partner. Some people think it's okay if he or she gets on your nerves or has broken some sort of truce or has broken some sort of unwritten code. But there was a survey done a few years ago, and the greatest pain that people, both men and women, have ever experienced in their lives, other than the death of their own children, was the fact that their spouse cheated on them, even if they found out after they divorced. Yeah. So people have to know what you, if you have a reason, if you think you have a reason to cheat, before you do it, you sit down, you talk it over with your mate. If your mate continues to be the same kind of pain in the ass or betrayer or somebody who doesn't give you what you need, get out of the relationship. Now, having said that, I think if somebody cheats on you in a marriage, all bets are off. Go do every woman or man you can find, because if they're going to betray you that way, you don't deserve that trust. So
yeah, you're right.
That's not very mature. Like if we're talking about, I think the problem that I have is we keep going back to accountability. Like there's a fidelity police. Like we're looking to someone outside of ourselves to police ourselves. Like ultimately, if I have an anger problem and we know that going into the relationship and I explode, I'm responsible for that, but we're conscious of I have an anger problem. So we have to look at what techniques, what things we can do to alleviate the problem that we both know exists. Now there are lots of things that we can do in the context of a relationship. I think what was interesting is I even was able to connect what Corey and Fatima were saying earlier when Risa asked about what changed once he had daughters. Similar to what the example he gave with Fatima and a mother and a son. What he experienced was he had people that had not done anything to him that were innocent, that he was responsible for, and that changed his position versus the women who were his caretakers and responsible for him. I was telling Dr. Guy offline earlier, Corey, I think you're an amazing guy, because if my mother would have told me that she wished that she would have aborted me, I told Dr. Guy, I would have told her that I wish you'd have died in childbirth. So, you know, you're an amazing guy to me for at least, you know, being able to sit there and take those things and mature and, you know, get into the pastorhood and have a good perspective as a father going forward. So before we sit here and try to create some accountability police, you know, let's look at what are some of the factors in the relationship that made the man go outside a relationship. You know, perhaps the woman is sexually inadequate. Perhaps she doesn't believe in the man, and like the gentleman Corey said earlier, he goes somewhere else to foster a space where he can go forward because there's no belief at home. You know, there are other models of relationships where people do engage in outside sex, and I've spoken to them, and they are able to separate the trust and the relationship between sex. So, you know, there's another model of relationship where there's not an ownership paradigm as it relates to those activities. So there are lots of ways we can look at things. There's a myriad of reasons things can occur, but I'm just not comfortable with us keep going back to accountability police that doesn't exist.
You know, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't understand what you mean by accountability police.
Well, I can tell you.
We keep going back to there's no accountability, you know, like there has to be someone that overlords over the man, like the slave master, that makes sure he doesn't go out and cheat with another woman. What it really boils down to is the context of what's going on in the relationship with a man and a woman. And I think, you know, we're glossing over that and just trying to whip the man into place with some accountability thing. Let's get to the issue of why he left the sanctity of the relationship. Was it something the woman wasn't doing sexually? Is it something that they have a problem in communication? I think you do a better job at addressing the problems in the relationship rather than trying to overlord over the man and, you know, try to rein in his sexuality.
I don't think it's either one or the other. Should be both.
It should be both. And as the person who introduced accountability to the conversation, I would like to speak to that. So first of all, when at the top of the show, when I was asked this question, I said, and perhaps Corey and clearly you, Steve, didn't hear what I said, because I said there's a myriad of reasons why men cheat. And if I had to talk about all of them, I'd be talking the entire show. But if I'm going to generalize, and if I'm going to say one thing, then I'll say that men cheat because they're not held accountable and because society makes excuses for it and says it basically boils down, well, that's what men do. That's how accountability came
hey,
in.
Patina,
now,
can I interrupt you.
No, I didn't interrupt you.
I just want clarity.
Now,
as a man, I just want clarity. What is accountability? What does that look like?
I'm
Help
going to answer that.
Say,
I'm,
okay,
if
okay.
you if you not interrupt me and let me speak, I was about to say if I get into accountability and talk about that, but I need you to listen. So because I've listened to all the I've listened to everybody who's talked, and I have not interrupted anyone. So if I talk about what accountability is, when I say they're not being held accountable, I am talking about women saying no. And when I enter into a relationship with someone, I let them know upfront that I do not abide cheating. It's going to be a no for me. So if cheating happens in my relationship, I'm out. I have no interest in working on it. So then at that point, when if you choose to cheat on me, then you are choosing to terminate this relationship because you already know that's not something I'm interested in doing. This is a boundary I set, and I'm not going to allow you to cross it. What happens is a lot of times women will or won't say that they want to buy cheating, and cheating happens and they're upset about it and they cry and they break some crap and they stay in the relationship. And then he cheats again and they stay in the relationship. And so at that point, that's why I'm saying they aren't being held accountable, because there are so many women who are willing to remain in a relationship with a cheater. Now, when I hear you say, you know, it was when you had daughters that made you stop cheating, I think about a conversation I had with my own father, who said to me he thought God had punished him when I was born, because Now he has two daughters, me and my sister, and he knew that he'd been horrible to so many women. And now he has these two girls that he's responsible for. And I've heard other men say similar things like that. And for me, it's not, it doesn't really hit me in the way that I think it's meant to hit, because while I appreciate men who realize, man, I got to get it together and do right, what about the trail of broken hearts and women you have destroyed while it took you to get to the point of having daughters to figure out what I'm doing is messed up and I don't want my daughter to come into contact with some man who is like me? That's really crappy. And then how many men, while you're doing the work on yourself to do better and be better, how many of them go back and reach out to those women who they have destroyed and go back and say, you know what, I'm sorry I hurt you, and show some accountability for the pain that you caused? You know, so many men like to sit around and talk about how women are damaged and they got baggage and all this kind of stuff, but they won't own up to how many of them are the reason those women are like that. So, no, I can't sit here and do this thing about, like, how women need to love men through it and the little boy that's inside of him. I get it. I understand the little boy, and I understand broken men and men who, when they were boys, had all of this toxic stuff thrown at them that might have impacted the reason why they are the way they are. But that doesn't mean that I have to be and I have to allow myself to be the field in which you play football on, you know, and run up and down the field and trample all over me. I can choose to say it's going to be a no. And so really my message is for women, and I am asking women to release yourselves from this idea that you have to sit there and be a party and a participant in him doing things to you that does not serve you and that hurts you. You can choose to say it's a no for me, and no doesn't need an explanation. No actually is a complete sentence. And you can say no and allow him to work on himself. And you know what? Maybe if there were more women who were willing to say no, it wouldn't take him becoming a father to figure out it's time for him to make a change. Because if more women stood and no, I'm not doing this with you, that might be something that could help spark something in his brain to figure out it's wrong. And when Steve sits here and talks about all of these other relationship types, well, I'm sorry, but I was under the impression that we were talking about monogamous relationships. Because if we're talking about relationships that have clauses where you can see other people and it doesn't mean nothing because I can separate, well, then that's not cheating. So if we're talking about cheating, cheating is specific to someone stepping outside the rules and the boundaries that are set for this relationship.
Thanks, Fatima.
Go ahead, Mr. Corey.
You said a mouthful.
I just appreciate, man, just this platform, and I'm going to be gracious, and I just want to say a couple of things, and I'll hand it off to Steve. you know, I'm a straight shooter, and here's what I'll say is, it is perspectives and mindsets like that that women give other women, and all of them in a single group at 50. And so that's just my opinion. I think that versus what I was hearing is, I would really like to know what her relationship was with her father. I'd really like to know whether her father wounded her or hurt her, because what I hear is a lot of anger and passion. And you know what, let me retract anger. What I hear is a lot of passion towards this particular topic, but too much passion that is not controlled can be interpreted as anger. That's why whenever a black man is moving his hands or being aggressive, white cops will think that he's angry, but he's really just being passionate. So I just say that. It just sounds like there's a lot of passion there, and I'd love if I had more time to figure out what your relationship was with your father or your past relationships that gave you this perspective, because it sounds like the fuel that is in the vehicle that you're driving is hurt versus understanding. And what happens is women that have been hurt and women that have had negative experiences will always tell a woman what they should do, and you end up moving a woman that could potentially work on her relationship and get to know that man and maybe have the capacity to have more compassion than you do to show compassion to that man, and their relationship work out. But now she's single because she listened to a passionate woman that has these ideologies. Again, I want to make sure that I'm clear. Not once did I say that I think that men that cheat are right and that women should stay. But let me give you a little bit more context, sweetheart, since, you know, you wanted to bring up it should
Please
take a man
call me
that
sweetheart.
Has children.
Please don't call okay. me sweetheart. It's condescending.
Ma'am? Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. Where I'm from is not condescending. So, ma'am, I had my children at 19. So I think that me having my daughter at 19, it didn't take me till 40. I was yet still a child when I had my child. And so when I say it took me having my daughters to really think, see things from a different perspective, I would like to just say, you know, everybody grows at a different rate, and it takes everybody something different for the light bulb to go on. Grown up, the doctor that spoke before you, he spoke so eloquent, and I appreciate his perspective. And while he was speaking, I was going, bro, you are so right. Because sometimes you don't even know something is wrong, because from a moral conscious perspective, this is what's been modeled before you. And you as you grow out of what was put on you when you were a child. And you start to go, well, man, that ain't right. And I don't want to do that no more. And I'm looking at my daughters, and I'm looking at how I'm hurting women. And you're absolutely correct, ma'am. Sometimes we do leave bodies behind, and we do need to go back and apologize. That's called growth, maturity, and integrity. But I just think it's such a deep-rooted, passionate subject that we won't get all of the answers today. But again, for the third time, I'll just say it is women with that perspective and with that anger that are single and will remain single and will justify their singlehood because I'm standing on my ideologies and my morals. But they lay in a bed by themselves because what they lead with is this mindset of, I ain't taking this, and it's unattractive. What's attractive to a strong man is a soft place, even if that strong man has just coming to the realization that fidelity is right because he had daughters. Steve?
I think what we need to kind of get to is back on the topic of why men cheat. I think Fatima has kind of led us astray on how women should behave after men cheat, but we're getting away from the why men cheat itself. And I think that what, you know, Corey is trying to explain is there may be a behavior that the woman is exhibiting that has caused the man to stray. It may be the root cause. And because the woman is not willing to take some accountability for her actions, then it is a repetitive cycle that, once she locks into her mind that she's not going to put up with a cheater, then she will leave the situation only to be cheated on again because there is something within her behavior that either attracts a cheater or creates a cheater. So I think we need to look at those things. If we want to sit here and say, well, if we hold men accountable, then they won't cheat. Well, I can say the same thing. If they weren't any hoes, then men wouldn't have anybody to cheat with. So, you know, I think if we look at from those perspectives, then, you know, we need to get back to some of the pathology, like Mr. Corey said, you know, some of the society pressures, how these situations have been created. You know, you can't pick what your cross is to bear. You just have to understand what your cross is. And for some women, you know, who, like I said, may lack the ability to believe in a man, and some outside woman sees that and she presents that soft place, as Mr. Cordes talked about, or there's just some things that she's not willing to do sexually that he's been accustomed to through other relationships. Those are real reasons why men cheat. So we can sit back and, like I said, once again, we can try to create some accountability police, which is, you know, the overbearing slave master that gets the man in line and, you know, gets some type of grasp on a male sexuality, you know, if that's what you're looking for. But that's not going to ever exist. What you need to do is create a healthy relationship where there's conversation, where there's openness, you know, where there's a place where we can work these things out, whether it's painful or not.
Steve, can you hear me, Steve?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
I know Fatima wants to get in there and respond to what Corey said, and so I just want to say this real quick, and we do have a caller who has been waiting patiently, so I do want to go to the phone line. But when I listen to you and Corey, I hear two different things. What I just heard you say, at least my understanding was, I heard you say that men might be cheating because of something their woman is not doing. What I heard Corey say was this woman may have some issues herself that she needs to deal with, and that was specific for one person, not the general theme. Like when we ask this question, what makes a man cheat? Corey's perspective was what makes a man cheat is the man, him himself. He is the reason why he is cheating because of his own experiences, because of how he interprets his experiences. It's him. What I hear you saying, Steve, is the dude is probably cheating because his girl ain't doing something.
What I'm saying is those two things can occupy the same place.
Dr. Guy, because I don't want to create too much of a line of deviation or a differential between me and Steve. What I'm saying is, and if you take a woman who gets a broken man, right, and he's broken, and he comes into that relationship mm-hmm. broken, and she won't listen to him, or she talks to him like he's a child, or she badgers him, or he comes home and he's trying to express to her a place of brokenness, and she may call him weak or whatever because of her past experiences, because she's angry, it may push that man to seek comfort someplace else. At the end of the day, the point is, it's still his responsibility. It still lies on his shoulders, and you'll never hear me say he cheated because of a woman. But there are some factors. Because of this whole conversation, whenever you start talking about why a man cheats, every woman, for the most part, not every, but most women want to jump on the character of the man as if they don't have no damn character issues themselves, as if your attitude is not an issue, as if you not being compassionate or not being a nurturer, or as if you being lazy is not an issue. And so what we have the tendency to do is to jump on the man and say, well, he ain't being held accountable. But I think what Steve is saying, just like I am, is that accountability goes both ways.
Okay. All right, let me go to the phone lines real quick, and Fatima needs to jump in there because I know she wants to respond to that comment. Caller, you're on the air at 817.
Oh, my God. Listen, this is Renee. And you guys,
hey,
I am trying my best to study. I am trying to study and leave us alone, but y'all just won't let me. Wow. Listen, I think we're going to have to do a part three to this one. Fatima has brought up some things that I think is fair. I mean, it's fair. I mean, what's really interesting is the way that I'm kind of hearing Corey and Fatima talk about it is exactly what happens in my office. And but I think the only difference is that these two guys in my office have come together and truly have a goal of trying to stay together. And so we're looking for some understanding more than we're looking for winning a point. And so what happens in session is that, first of all, when I look at it, I look at infidelity as a byproduct of the breakdown of the relationship, means that both people had a part to play in it. I usually kind of go to Esther Perel's understanding of infidelity, and it really does have less to do with that other person and more of this understanding that I'm not happy with who I'm becoming with you. I'm not turning away from you. I'm kind of turning away from who I've become. I'm not really looking for another love more than I am looking for another version of myself. What that means, though, is that there's something happening in this relationship between us, whether it's you, whether it's me, whether it's my inner child, or whether it's yours. Something's happening, and I don't like who I'm becoming with you. It could be, like I think Fatima said, I think everyone has said, it could be so many things. But I think the problem, one of the biggest problems, is that when these people come into the office, this couple come into the office, you have mainly a situation where there's one situation and two very, very different experiences. You have a man, we'll just use a man, who may have had a type of transformative, where I'm learning that when I'm put in a situation where there is space made available to me, I feel better and I'm becoming someone different when I'm listened to. And then on the other side, like Fatima was saying, you have this woman who's experiencing not this transformation, but this pain and this hurt. So mm-hmm. One situation, two very different experiences. And again, the idea for me, this is how I approach it, is that this guy, if it's the male that cheated, is not turning away from his lover more than he's turning away from who he has become with her. Now, if we really were to unpack that, it could go to what Steve is saying. Maybe there is something there. Maybe there are behaviors, because you got to remember that in relationships, we're responding to each other. I'm not just coming up with shit on my own. Like, I'm responding to your behavior. And if you're not giving me that safe space, then I'm not going to talk. And this is what we're seeing, is really what that looks like. Corey is saying, well, if we're going to work this thing out, then I want you to hear, because remember, these guys in my office are wanting to stay together. I want you to hear me out. I want you to hear that these are the things, right? And I want to feel safe enough to be able to say those things. But then you have the woman who says, well, that's just an excuse. Now, if these two are trying to work it out, they're going to keep missing each other because they're not hearing from each other. He's telling her something, and she's not going to listen because she's so focused on the pain. And again, in the session, they've already decided that we want to work this out, but we can't work it out if we don't get to one thing, and I think Steve said it, and that's understanding. Why are you not happy with who you're becoming with me? And then I have to, as a man, feel safe enough to speak my truth. Maybe my truth is, I don't like you anymore. I don't like the way you threw back in my face that one thing that I told you in confidence, and I hadn't been able to get over it. And then there was Sally at work who did listen. And in most cases, just based off of what I know, when there is infidelity or some type of cheating, it's mostly like accidental. It's not something that these guys are looking for. This is for my women and my men who come in and cheat. I wasn't looking for someone else, but I was looking for something. And that's one of the questions that I ask them, whoever comes into the office and cheats. What were you looking for? Because they're looking for something. And in most cases, it's not another love, but again, another version of myself, because I don't like who I'm becoming with you. So I think the reason we can't get to what we're looking for, I think Dr. Malik said, you have symptoms and then you have the core cause. We can't really get there because these guys aren't really looking to reach like a common goal. Like, they're not trying to stay together. So we don't really need to look for understanding. I don't really feel like that's what we're looking for here. And it should be, but I think if we had two people that were really trying to stay together, that this would be a different conversation. But I think it sounds like this because we don't have a common goal. The reason I titled mine, What Would Make a Man Cheat, because I kind of wanted to take away the fact that someone right now is cheating. And I wanted, and I told the women on the wild, listen, guys, let's make sure we let the men have their experiences. because it was their experience, and they get to have that. And I didn't want what to happen here happen on the wind down, which is when the men say something, then there was an attack. And I get the attack because it did sound like for a minute that, well, you just kind of love me through it. But then that takes me to my final point, in session, and women don't like it. And then Fatima's probably not going to like it, and the women that I'm talking to or that's listening is not going to like it. But women, especially in these situations, because they're so sensitive, you got to learn to listen. Because if you don't listen, if you don't get an understanding, then you'll be stuck in your own emotion of it all, and you'll never truly get what's really happening in this relationship. Because I see it all the time, Dr. Guy, in my office, where he's trying to tell her, I was looking for mm-hmm. something. And the woman's mm-hmm. saying, well, no, but what about my pain? And there is a moment where you got to sit in her pain as a man. But then the woman also mm-hmm. has a responsibility, and that is you got to listen, especially if we're going to work through this thing. But, again, I know that's not what you guys are trying to do here. But if we have this conversation again, I'm really hoping that that's what's going to happen, that we're really learning to listen to what the men are saying, because I think what Steve and Corey are saying is their truth. We don't like it. We don't have to agree with it, but we do have to understand.
And you're right, Renee. I hear the same thing, and it's so difficult because everyone is sitting in pain, right? They're in it. She's in it because she feels betrayed, and she's hurt, and she feels
absolutely.
Violated. But he has his own pain, too, which is in many cases mm-hmm. the reason why he found himself stepping outside of the relationship. And it doesn't mean that he did it because he was specifically looking for sex. But as you
That's
said,
right.
he was looking for something. And it could have been because he was dealing with depression and didn't even know that it was depression.
Mm-hmm.
Or he was dealing with
mm-hmm.
some other pathology that he had no idea. But what he did know is when he had sex with this other person, that feeling went away. And that was the feeling of pain
mm-hmm.
that temporarily went away.
That's right.
And so I think they get misconstrued with the idea that it is
mm-hmm.
only about sex. And so,
right.
or her booty was bigger and her body was banging and she looked bad. Like, it's none of those things, right? When you really look
mm-hmm.
at it and when men really
when
do
you
their
really
own
look
work,
at it.
They realize
mm-hmm.
that it had nothing to do with all these external factors that
mm-hmm.
we as women, because as a woman, we think about all this external stuff, right? And then
That's
that
right,
hurts
yeah.
us because then we start to compare ourselves to these other external things. Like, we want to know what she look like, how much money she make, what she do for – like, those things are completely
mm-hmm.
irrelevant to him because that wasn't the cause of what led to the infidelity. And so I definitely think we're going to have to bring this back for part three.
We're going to have to.
Because
yeah.
Fatima unpacked some stuff that we didn't even get to. And I'm glad Fatima
right.
brought it up because I think that's a whole nother series about – women who stay. Now, we're not talking about just
right.
why men cheat, but we are talking about these serial cheaters and women stay with them. And that's a whole different, I think that's a whole different topic because those are women who are staying for a different reason. And those are the women who
mm-hmm.
I think Fatima is empowering them to say, you don't have to stay. And no matter what you do, you can't change him. You can't make him quit cheating because it's not about you. And you can love him all day long. You can support him, embrace him, and give him the space that he needs. But
mm-hmm.
he can still cheat and continue to cheat. And I think that's a different group of women
mm-hmm.
that we're talking about. And so we need to do a show on that because there's a lot of
mm-hmm.
women that falls on that need to be heard. So, Fatima, thank you for opening up that topic. But then that space where, Corey, you went and you just talked about that wounded boy. And the wounded boy, I think, is the reason why we're seeing so many households, unfortunately, that are being led by single women, which is probably a whole nother different conversation, but you kind of introduced it today into kind of what your path looked like into why you found yourself engaging in these relationships. So we've kind of unpacked so much or just started to unpack so much stuff, Renee. So hopefully when we bring part three back, you'll be available and you can
mm-hmm.
join us. Because there's so many things that we've talked about. And so we only have a short amount of time left. So, Fatima, there's so much I know you have to say, but what can you leave us with? Because we will be bringing this back, and when we bring it back, definitely you'll get an opportunity to introduce those other topics. So what do you want to leave the listeners with today, Fatima?
What I will leave the listeners with today is
Hello, Fatima. Can you hear? Can you hear Fatima?
Yeah. What I will leave the listeners with today is don't be gaslit by men who don't have a valid argument to stand on. So they tell you stuff like, that's why you're single. That's the line that most of these men go to when they have nothing else intelligent to say. And they try to use that some kind of way to maybe try to make you feel bad. Being single is always a very good option. In fact, it's usually the best option if the only other choice is to be in a toxic relationship. So that's what I'd like to say to women, and I'd like to empower women again to stand in your own truth. If you are not interested in being in a relationship where you are being cheated on, and it is okay to say no. And for those people who don't seem to understand exactly what I'm saying when I say that, this isn't a dig at men. In fact, it's not about men at all. So I'm not really sure how that statement got turned into somehow I'm attacking men. That's not an attack on men. I'm really asking women to take care of themselves. Nothing about that comment has anything to do with men. It has to do with women. Women, take care of yourselves and allow yourself to be in a good situation. And if a good situation means that you are in a situation where you are without a partner, that's okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Fatima. Steve, what are your final comments for our listeners today?
Hey, I also want to empower women, you know, keep your body up. You don't want to turn into a quarantine beast. I know, you know, I've gotten a little chubby in the quarantine days, but, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, get us a little workout plan, regimen going, you know. We didn't have a fufu when we came into quarantine, so we don't want to pick one up afterwards. You know, I want to empower the women to become that sexual monster that will have him trapped in the bedroom and scared to go anyplace else.
Wow, I just never know what to expect. Okay, and Corey, what are your final thoughts for our listeners today?
Yeah, I'll just say, man, I just appreciate, again, being part of the call, and I hope that the message that I was trying to exemplify to the women today is that, you know, sometimes you unknowingly are dealing with a broken man, and, you know, sometimes we just got to grow up, and we got to process and deal and unearth and unpack some things that we haven't unpacked. And that could be a process. And so I want to apologize to every woman that's been hurt by a man that maybe wasn't processed all the way, or he hadn't grown up. My prayer for you, though, is that you don't get bitter, that you don't lose hope, that you don't give up, that you don't turn into the type of woman that says that if I got to deal with a broken man, I'd rather be single. Because, you know, you may have just the loving words or the compassion or the nurturing spirit that will help that man heal, and he'll be faithful and love you in a way that he's never loved you before. You've never been loved before. And, you know, just because I started the conversation saying that I've always been controversial, I'll end it with just a tad bit of controversy and say, as I said, she's single.
So I thank you, Corey, so much for coming on today with us. As always, I have enjoyed our time in these discussions. For all of the listeners that tuned in and had a comment or a question, thank you guys so much for sharing today. And so I just want to leave you guys with, today we talked about what makes a man cheat. We started off the show by saying there's no one specific reason. This is not a one-size-fits-all motto. And we also know that all men don't cheat. And so in saying that, I want listeners, male or female, to understand that cheating isn't just about sex. And that, and I think Aretha kind of brought that up earlier. And there are so many reasons why an individual might step out. And so keep that in your perimeter, that if this happens to you, don't internalize it, that it's just something that you're not doing. You may have played a role in it because you're in a relationship with that person and you impact them. And so if that is the case, then the goal is to really encourage and support, because this might be someone, as Corey said, they need to do some process. Maybe it's about a lack of maturity. Maybe it's because they're dealing with their own insecurities. Maybe they're just downright selfish. Or who knows, maybe this individual is dealing with something else like depression or anger or some other pathology that you just don't know because you haven't had the opportunity nor the time to talk to him about it. And so one of the things that Corey said I thought was just most powerful is that, yes, this might be somebody who has cheated or is cheating now, but he might just need that one woman who is there to support him and to help him find his safe space. And that may not mean that he's going to talk to you about everything. Maybe that means he needs to get some professional help. And so you might be the person who supports him in doing that, just that. Now, you might be supporting him to get the work, and the work might take place when you're not in a relationship with him. Maybe you're the woman who's going to help him become a better man for somebody else. And if you don't want to do that, just think about it. The man that you had that might be a good man is a good man because someone else helped him become that good man. So with that being said, you guys, don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on, Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. And if you haven't already done so, you guys, make sure you go to my new YouTube channel and subscribe. More videos will be coming. And if you miss any of our past shows, you will be able to catch them on the YouTube channel. So subscribe at Dr. Tanisha Guy. Thank you guys every Sunday for tuning in. You guys have a blessed Sunday. And remember to keep y'all behinds in the house if you ain't got to go out. Be safe. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Hey, one more thing. Martin Luther King, Jay-Z, Kobe. I mean, do I need to keep going? Like, you know.
Really, see, you just always.
I'm just saying.
Something ridiculous to us at the end. I just never know what's going to come out of your mouth. But as always, Steve, it's a blast talking to you. With that being said,
all right, bye-bye.
Keep your butt in the house, too. Everybody, bye-bye.